After 8 seasons, 73 episodes, 2 slain dragons, the end of the Night King, the destruction of King's Landing, and a whole lot of death, Game of Thrones has ended. And if you're anything like me, you're still reading all the reviews and laughing at the memes to cope with the end of this era. But what does the end of GOT actually mean for the world of television? This is TikTok. I'm Jen Zabasadja. Today I'm talking with Bloomberg News media reporter Jerry Smith. Hi, Jerry. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for being on the podcast with us today. It's been a big 24 hours for Game of Thrones fans, but I want to talk to you because you cover HBO for Bloomberg. Can you just take us back to 2011? Did HBO realize how big of a show that this was going to be for them?
No, they've said that they have no idea that Game of Thrones was going to be Game of Thrones when it first started. But the show just kept building, and the audience and fan base kept building season after season. Until now, it's a humongous show for HBO, and I think everyone there is been looking ahead and figuring out what can we do, maybe not to find the next Game of Thrones, but to increase our production of shows to keep those diehard fans from leaving HBO when the show finally ended.
I wonder, in your opinion, how do you feel the show has sort of changed the television landscape over the past 8 years?
Yeah, I mean, the number of viewers, I mean, this season, the live viewership's around 17 million, which is huge for this current era. Maybe it's not what the end of Seinfeld or Dallas or MASH was in the previous decades, but that's a lot of viewers, especially for something that is not a live sporting event or an award show like the Oscars. I mean, those sports and live events are typically the only two types of television these days that still get tens of millions of viewers. So for a drama that people could potentially watch anytime they want on demand, for that many people to be tuning in live is impressive, and I think it speaks a lot to how social media is influencing how people watch television now. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of people who said that they had to watch Game of Thrones live because people on Twitter would spoil it for them the next morning before they actually saw it if they didn't. So, I think that's an interesting sort of wrinkle of how social media is affecting how people are watching these shows as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely one of those people who will sacrifice my sleep just to watch it so I'm not spoiled in the morning. But you bring up a good point. People want to tune in live. And, I've been reading a little bit about appointment television and how people really feel like each of these episodes, it's an event, and they want to tune in to watch and witness this event. Do you think we're going to get another show like this where people will tune in and set their alarms for a television show?
Well, it depends. I mean, HBO has a different strategy than Netflix. Netflix will take a show and they will essentially just put it out at a certain time, and that's the entire season of the show, and then people can watch it on their own at their own leisure. HBO still has sort of the traditional mindset of Sunday night, we're going to give you a new episode, and we're not going to give you another one until next Sunday night. And that's a different approach, and then that, in some ways, I think that's what HBO, their former CEO, Richard Plepler, he liked to do that. He felt like we could own Sunday night, and on Monday morning, we would have the show that people would be talking about at the so-called water cooler. So it really depends. I mean, I think we're moving to this on-demand world of watching TV, where people you can watch a show a week later or a month later. I know that there's a lot of shows that I'm personally watching that other people saw maybe a couple years ago, because there's just so many shows out there, it's hard to keep up. But HBO is sort of unique in this world. I mean, there's other TV networks that do this, but the idea of putting out a show 1 week at a time versus the Netflix or Amazon strategy, where it's they basically dump the entire season and you can watch it whenever you want.
Right. And then we also have, Disney's coming out with their own streaming platform as well. And so the streaming wars are heating up. How big of a dent is the end of Game of Thrones leaving for HBO?
There's no question that it's leaving behind a huge void. I mean, the viewership for the show is far, far larger than any other show that HBO has put out. But, you know, they have a lot more shows. They have more of a programming budget now. It's much higher, so they have more opportunities to find another, you know, massive show like Game of Thrones. But it's hard. I mean, it requires some guesswork, and it's a lot of luck involved. And I don't think anyone who, you know, back in 2011 heard of Game of Thrones and the show about, you know, dragons and families. I don't think even people at HBO thought this would be as big of a thing as it is. So, you know, I think that in Hollywood, it's a lot of, you know, I think HBO would say that it's about putting their money and their faith behind very talented creators of shows. And, you know, now they have more money under their new owner, so they can make more shows and sort of take more and more swings. And their hope is that of all these shows that they're putting out in the next year or two, that, you know, one or two of them could, if not be as big as Game of Thrones, could certainly capture the cultural conversation in a similar way.
And what are some of the shows that are coming out that you think could potentially be big hits?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of new shows coming out. I mean, more so than really ever before. Deadwood was a show that was very popular on HBO, and now they're putting out a movie in a couple weeks. There is a show from Jordan Peele. J.J. Abrams is another big-name producer that's making a show for HBO. You know, there is a comedy series with Fred Armisen coming out. You know, there's a show called His Dark Materials, which has Lin-Manuel Miranda and a lot of other big names. Catherine the Great is a miniseries they're making that's coming out later this year with Helen Mirren as the star. So they've got a really deep pipeline of shows. I mean, this was HBO knew that this day would come eventually where Game of Thrones would eventually end. And they've spent the last couple of years building up you know, an impressive roster of new and returning shows to try and fill that void.
Yeah, I'm definitely sad, but I am looking forward to some of these shows. I've seen a few trailers, and they look pretty interesting. Watchmen in particular, I was like, this could be a really good show.
Yeah, I mean, it's HBO. They really set the standard for quality. And I think the big question going forward is they want to make more and more shows because that's what people expect in this day and age when Netflix seemingly puts out a new show every week. The question is can they maintain the same quality? Because you can make lots of shows, but the ones that really are high quality that people become dedicated fans to, like Game of Thrones, there's fewer of those. So that's the big question for HBO going forward is can you produce more and more shows than you ever have before while still being HBO?
Well, we'll definitely be watching. Jerry, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
All right, thank you.
And you can follow Jerry on Twitter at Jerry F. Smith. Before we end today, Facebook is gearing up for a big Tuesday with the debut of two of its new virtual reality headsets. My colleague John Jones got a preview of the devices and spoke with Bloomberg News' Mark Gurman about what to expect.
Oculus gave us a review unit of their latest VR headset, the Oculus Quest. It's a standalone headset. Mark, why is that a big deal?
The Oculus Quest is a big upgrade and a big new initiative for virtual reality headsets. For the first time here, you're getting a Oculus standalone headset, completely wireless. That means it does not need to be connected to a PC that also has intense high-level graphics with an expansive store.
Looking at the front of this thing, I'm noticing a couple of cameras.
Yes, the number of cameras on the front of the Quest, it's a very interesting system here. It has the inside-out cameras integrated, so you don't need any external sensors around the room. And it has this new guardian system, where if you're in an apartment or a living room and you have stuff around you, tables, chairs, people, et cetera, you can set up a barrier called the guardian, which will show these red walls when you're walking close to them. So even though you have this big headset on your head, you will know if you're about to bump into something because you're able to set up an environment that doesn't allow you to walk past.
So the Quest is selling for just under $400. That's the same price as the other Oculus headset, right?
Yes, this $400 price point, it's the same as the new Rift S headset. So basically for $400, you're choosing whether or not you want slightly less power in a completely wireless environment that you charge up, or for $400 getting the most powerful Oculus Rift S headset available, but of course not being in a standalone environment. So you have to take your pick at $400.
So Mark, any idea what's going to be on the Oculus storefront when people get their hands on this thing?
But the storefront right now at launch, you know, has around 50 or a little bit more than that titles. But over time, we're told that is going to grow considerably as more developers port their applications to the Oculus Quest headset.
The $400 price point is a big deal for gamers, but what's there for non-gamers on the Oculus Quest?
Now, even though gaming, you're right, it is a very key part of VR. That's one of the primary reasons for buying these headsets. Gaming is one of the biggest use cases. But there are other programs like web browsing, watching videos. There's companies right now working on movies and TV shows and music videos, I'm sure, in virtual reality. And they're just waiting for some of these headsets, this hardware, to take off so they really have a platform to launch their new content and their new software and their new video applications.
The Oculus Quest hits stores on May 21st, and you can bet we'll be keeping a close eye on what happens with this device.
Thanks to John Jones and Mark Gurman for that review. And that's the TikTok for today. Thanks as always for listening. If you like listening to us, please head over to iTunes and let us know what you think. I'm Jennifer Zabasanja. You can follow me on Twitter @JenniferLaurenZ and get all your updates 24/7 at TikTok.